Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth. We're listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Tuesday on this third day of September 2019. I hope you all had a safe and joyful and blessed Labor Day weekend, and I'm glad to be back at the helm of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio for our first live broadcast in September. And today we have one of my oldest Christian friends on the program, a returning guest who I love to interview. His name is Kenneth R. Samples, Senior Research Scholar at Reasons to Believe, and we're going to be discussing one of his most controversial books that he has co-authored with Hugh Ross and Mary Clark, Lights in the Sky and Little Green Men, a rational look, a rational Christian look at UFOs and extraterrestrials.
Oh, Ezekiel saw the wheel
a-rollin' way up in the middle of the air. Ezekiel saw the wheel a-rollin' way in the middle of the air.
Well, the big wheel run by faith,
my Lord, and the little wheel run by the grace of God. Oh, wheel and all wheel a-rollin' way in the middle of the air.
Now,
Ezekiel saw the wheel a-turnin' way up in the middle of the air. Ezekiel
Yes, Ezekiel's wheel, believed by many UFO enthusiasts to be the first recorded UFO sighting in history. But it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, my friend Ken Samples.
Hello there, Chris. It's good to be with you. Thank you for having me on.
Hey, it's great to have you on. And first, why don't you let our listeners know about Reasons to Believe, where you serve as Senior Research Scholar.
Yeah, Reasons to Believe is a science-based think tank. We have lots of great information about issues relating to the Christian faith and its compatibility with science. And got a very expansive website, reasons.org. I'm on the scholar team there. I'm kind of the oddball in that I'm the only non-scientist, kind of bring my background in philosophy and theology. So reasons.org will open up Reasons to Believe to you.
Great. And if anybody has more questions or they'd like to explore in more detail, Reasons to Believe, you can go to reasons.org, reasons.org, and hopefully we will remember to announce that website later on in the program as well. Well, you know, I've been watching, I don't know if you ever watch Tucker Carlson, who is my favorite host on Fox News. I don't agree with everything Tucker says or does, but I agree with a lot of what he says, and he has really been captivated by the UFO phenomenon, and I think that he's a very level-headed and reasonable guy. He's not a nut job or a sensationalist that would want to cater to something that he thought was utterly ridiculous. And he has been talking basically a lot with expert guests on the program, those that are experts in aeronautical aviation and engineering and so forth, about the UFO phenomenon, about the fact that there are unidentified flying objects that have been witnessed even by astronauts and people in the United States Air Force who are highly respected. And so, this is an interesting thing. He believes that there is, and his guests typically believe there is great evidence that there is a government cover up about this, which further entices the imagination of people to run wild and come to all kinds of conclusions about that. But what was the initial catalyst that you, Hugh Ross and Mary Clark, came to write Lights in the Sky and Little Green Men?
Yeah, Chris, I've watched the Tucker Carlson interviews as well, and found it interesting, and he's had some interesting guests on. My interest in the topic of UFOs and extraterrestrials probably goes back to my time working with Walter Martin, who was the original Bible Answer Man. I worked at the Christian Research Institute from 1987 until near the end of 1993. Walter Martin was interested in UFOs. He had a lecture that he gave on the topic, and I listened to that many years ago. When I was a researcher at CRI, people would call in or write in and inquire about UFOs. Then I was approached by a colleague from Biola University who was writing a series on various cults, and they wanted to include a book on UFO cults. That project was not completed, but I did a lot of research for it. So when I began working at Reasons to Believe in 1997, Hugh Ross, who is an astronomer, he, of course, has long been interested in the subject and, of course, worked in the various science fields, looked through telescopes and various issues. So he was interested in the topic. So what we decided to do is when we worked on Lights in the Sky and Little Green Men, Hugh would present the kind of scientific data as an astronomer. I would look at the religious and sociological, philosophical implications, and then Mark Clark is a professor that deals with basic governmental studies. So we thought, wow, this could be good because we can address the scientific issues, we can look at the religious issues, and we can get Mark to comment on maybe government conspiracies. And that was the result of that book. It came out in 2002, and people still have lots of questions about extraterrestrials, about UFOs, about abduction, contactee, and I think the book has held up pretty well. I think it is fair-minded. We offer differing interpretations about how to understand the phenomenon, and then we offer an explanatory model.
Well, my deepest apologies to Mark Clark for at least twice calling him Mary.
that's okay. I'm sure he'll forgive you. He's a very gracious guy.
Just another sign that I definitely need prescription glasses. Sorry, Mark, and perhaps this is a warning to the person who chose the type face for the cover of the book.
Well, blame it on the cover.
Yeah. Well, this subject has actually fascinated me since I was a little kid. And one thing that I have told people, and perhaps you have a different way of responding, but there are many Christians over the years who have said to me, "Do you believe in UFOs?" And my answer has typically been, well, it's not really a matter of a fact what I believe in. It is the question do UFOs exist? And they do, because UFO means unidentified flying object. That does not mean, if I say, yes, I know that UFOs exist, that doesn't mean that I believe in intelligent life on other planets. It doesn't mean that I believe in visitations from extraterrestrials. It just means that there are flying objects that have yet to be identified. Am I right in that?
Yeah, that's right. UFO simply means unidentified flying objects. There have been tens of thousands of reports that have come in over the last 70 years or so. The phenomenon largely began right after World War II, but it's also true that people have reported seeing unusual things in the sky for many centuries. But most UFOs become IFOs, identified flying objects. I think it is reasonable to conclude that the vast majority of UFO reports or UFO sightings are simply misidentified natural or human phenomena. For example, we write in the book that we think anywhere from 90 to 95% of UFOs have some natural explanation and can become IFOs, identified flying objects. But then the question is, for that small percentage that is left over, how do we then interpret that and understand that phenomenon?
Well, I had heard, even as a young boy, that many UFO enthusiasts, as I've said in the opening, do include or state that Ezekiel's wheel in the Bible is the first recorded sighting of a UFO. Have you heard that same report from those involved in the UFO phenomena?
Oh, yeah. Yes. I mean, there are plenty of people who engage in what I would call UFO religion. There are many UFO cults, and many of these people would look to Scripture to some degree or another. The Ezekiel passage is a very common one. Unfortunately, UFO religion, whether it is contacteeism, which was very, very popular in the 50s and 60s, abduction became popular in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, and then UFO cults, they are steeped in occultism. They're steeped in, you know, things like seances, but instead of talking to spirits, they believe they're talking to UFO beings. But UFO religion is very, very popular, and yes, people appeal to the wheel in Ezekiel, and some people try to read the scriptures through the prism of kind of a UFO worldview, if you will.
Yes, and some of those, or at least one of those cults that was a UFO cult, I don't know if it still exists because most of the members, including its leader, committed suicide. The Heaven's Gate cult immediately comes to mind.
Yes, exactly. I write about that in a chapter in Lights in the Sky. This was a group that was in San Diego, California, not too far from the Reasons to Believe headquarters, and that was the time in which the Hale-Bopp comet was circling the Earth, and I remember being up in the mountains, being able to look up and see the Hale-Bopp comet, and Marshall Applewhite, who was the leader of the Heaven's Gate group, said that there was a spacecraft behind the comet, and they ultimately committed suicide, believing that they would join these beings. And so, you know, Chris, UFOs and the UFO phenomenon, it is weird, it's strange, it's kind of kooky, but UFO religion can be dangerous because the ideas not only are contrary to historic Christianity, but as we have seen, it can be very cultic, and in that case, it led to the death of quite a number of their members.
Yes, do they still exist at all, that cult?
To the best of my knowledge, it's largely, after the suicide, I think it's largely gone. But, I mean, there are other groups, the Aetherius Society, there are other UFO groups, out there. And so, you know, to one degree or another, UFO religion has become popular. In fact, I am a passionate student of history, and I love to watch the History Channel. There's a couple of them. Well, I used to say it used to be the Hitler Channel, meaning that it was always about World War II and the Nazis, and you know, you could always see a good special on Hitler and the Nazis. Well, now it's become the Alien Channel, where you know, aliens, UFOs just kind of dominate that kind of programming, and so people are interested, and it's easy to understand why, Chris. A lot of people, even if they don't believe in traditional religion, maybe they're not Christian or maybe they're not Jewish, yet they're still looking for ultimate answers, meaning and purpose. Is the universe, are we alone in the universe, and could these beings be coming here? So some people believe in salvation from above, by extraterrestrial beings that have all this wisdom. And so this is, again, kooky, strange, weird, but some people take it very, very seriously, and I thought it was worthy of trying to write in a very careful and credible way about these groups. And fortunately, I was joined by an astronomer and by an expert in the area of, you know, the government and how the government deals with these kinds of things.
And I don't know if you would categorize these groups that I'm about to mention as UFO cults, but they involve extraterrestrial phenomenon within their religions. You have the Mormons. A lot of people don't even realize that the Battlestar Galactica TV series and subsequent movies were originally based on Mormon theology. In fact, the TV series, and perhaps the movies, I don't know, but the TV series was certainly written and directed and produced by Mormons, and there is replete throughout the series hidden Mormon theology and doctrine. You also have the Nation of Islam, where they are awaiting the mothership to take the faithful black Muslims or Nation of Islam members off this planet. And you have, of course, Scientology that is also involving extraterrestrials and so on. If you want to comment on any of those that you're familiar with.
Yeah, I let me mention just a couple of the particular groups that I write about. The Aetherius Society, Uranus Academy of Science, I write about Heaven's Gate, the Raelian movement, a little bit about Urantia. All of these are kind of UFO religions or cults. But it's interesting, and I'm glad you mentioned it. There are other groups, such as the Latter-day Saints, that are, they have a perspective on outer space. And you're right, that particular program had a backdrop of kind of a Mormon context. And some of the black Muslims have also talked about these kinds of things. And so I think, Chris, this really is a religious phenomenon. Again, the idea of space, the idea of reaching out to beings that may be out there, there may be other worlds. And I think this is, of course, a counterfeit religion. I think that, again, these groups have specific beliefs. Here are some of the major beliefs of UFO cults. They believe that flying saucers are real. They believe people are in touch with alien intelligences. And they believe that there are messages given from these aliens that are religious in nature. And so again, the Urantia book is supposed to be a revelation, come from beings from outer space. So, yeah, very, this is again a religious phenomenon. But of course, scripture tells us, I think, that that when people stop worshiping the true and living God or cut off from God because of their sin, they don't stop worshiping. They don't stop becoming religious. Rather, they look to find something else to worship, some other element to connect themselves to. And so this may be kind of the new techno-religions, the religions of space. And again, even though it's kind of a weird phenomenon, and I had some people take some shots at me about writing a book about UFOs, but I think that this is a very significant apologetic area, and we need credible people writing and critiquing this phenomenon.
Oh, yeah, definitely, because when I interact with non-believers, especially millennials, that's one of the first things they bring up.
That's right.
Do you believe in life on other planets? Is it possible that there's intelligent life on other planets? Is it possible that Jesus was an alien from another planet and the apostles, et cetera, et cetera? There have even been suggestions or theories by UFO fanatics that have said the reason why the artwork of Christ and the saints from the medieval period and earlier typically will have halos around their heads is because those were actually some kind of apparatuses so they could breathe, you know,
even in some of my other apologetic books, Chris, I've written about the so-called extraterrestrial Jesus, that Jesus was able to do miracles in the minds of UFO religions because he was from the technology of the future, and maybe he pulled off the resurrection because of that. And even though this is, again, unusual and non-typical, it nonetheless has gotten a lot of street cred, if you will, by people who are interested. And, of course, people are fascinated with conspiracies. They're fascinated with the idea that the government may know a lot more about this than they're letting on. And so people, I think, are drawn to these kinds of questions.
Yes. Well, I mean, one thing that you just said about the government keeping things hidden and secret, obviously, this could be involving, if indeed that is true, and the government hides a lot of things from us. So, I mean, it could be involving, military machinery and vessels and aircraft and all kinds of things that they don't want the public to be aware of for obvious reasons. And also could be the discovery of that type of machinery, aircraft, weaponry that has been discovered from the enemy and so on. So, I mean, there's all kinds of reasons why the government might cover something like that up that does not involve invasions from outer space. But before we even perhaps even go further into that aspect, why don't you, before we go to our first break, go over some of the types of UFOs?
Yeah, what's kind of interesting as we look at this, we start to see that the UFO phenomenon really kind of comes out of the backdrop of World War II, and I simply wanted to quickly make the point that, when you had a Cold War, the government was very protective about various things, but even today you have you still have great competition with the Chinese, with the Russians, and so there are reasons why the government is kind of slow in many ways to kind of let some of this out. Well, let me talk a little bit about the types of UFOs here a little bit. You have, going back to the Spielberg movie, Close Encounters. That is kind of a way of kind of explaining UFO phenomenon. And you have, various close encounters. You have the four kinds. The close encounter of the first kind would be seeing a UFO or seeing some kind of phenomenon. close encounter of the second kind would be where that phenomena leaves some kind of physical effects in the environment, you know, a broken tree, signs of radiation, scorched earth. Close encounter of the third kind is where people actually claim to see occupants, witnesses, maybe they have communication. And then close encounters of the fourth kind would be where people actually maybe go on the ship. And then the fifth kind, and this is rare, but there are cases of it where a person is actually killed because of some kind of a phenomenon that they're experiencing. And kind of broadly, a lot of people think, and I am one of them, that the vast majority of UFOs can be IFOs. They can be explained naturally, usually some kind of natural phenomena. I mean, there are a lot of things in the sky that we could mistake for some kind of aircraft or some kind of human phenomena. I live near a Air Force base in Southern California, and when it was very foggy, I saw a plane come out of there, and it was like, whoa, what in the world was that? So a lot of people, a lot of critics would simply say, if 90 to 95% can be explained naturally, maybe all of it can. But as we'll get into in the show, I think there are still some questions about that small percentage.
Yeah, we're going to our first break right now, and if anybody wants to ask a question of their own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com, and please, as always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter, and I assume that if somebody out there has seen a weird-looking flying object that they have no explanation for, they might want to remain anonymous. They might be too embarrassed to say something about it in public, especially perhaps if they're a Christian and they know that the majority of their brothers and sisters are very leery about such phenomenon. But we could understand that you would want to remain anonymous, and we will grant your request. But other than that, if it's just a general question, please give us at least your first name, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. So we look forward to hearing from you and your questions for Ken Samples on Lights in the Sky and Little Green Men right after these messages from our sponsors, so please do not go away.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
My name is James Renahan, and I'm the president of IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. The Word of God says, if a man desires the office of an overseer, he desires a good thing. Do you have the desire to serve Jesus Christ in pastoral ministry? 20 years ago, the Institute of Reformed Baptist Studies at Westminster Seminary, California was born. For those 2 decades, these institutions worked together to train men for ministry in Reformed Baptist churches. It has been a wonderful partnership. Now we have advanced our school into an independent seminary offering a full program of courses leading to the Master of Divinity degree. This is IRBS Theological Seminary. We believe that the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments are the inspired and inerrant Word of God, that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh who came to save sinners by his life, death, and resurrection, and that the task of the church is to honor and serve the triune God in all things. IRBS Theological Seminary is dedicated by God's grace to preparing godly ministers who will be committed to these doctrines. Do you sense a call to serve Jesus Christ and his church as a pastor? Why not consider IRBS Theological Seminary? You'll find more information at irbsseminary.org. That's irbsseminary.org, 2 S's in the middle. I hope to hear from you soon. God bless you.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Baptism and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, and my friend Chris Arnson and I are excited to be attending another G3 conference together in Atlanta, Georgia, Thursday, January 16th through Saturday, January 18th, on a theme that is vitally important to all of us, Worship Matters. I'll be on the speaking lineup with Derek Thomas, Joel Beakey, Paul Washer, Steve Lawson, Phil Johnson, Tom Askell, Vody Balcom, and the world-renowned preacher, teacher, and author John MacArthur. A fascinating new addition to the roster is Kosti Hinn, nephew of the notorious false teacher Benny Hinn. Kosti has repented of the word faith heresies of his youth and is now a Reformed Baptist pastor and cessationist in California. Come join me and Chris Arnson at G3 2020, January 16th through the 18th in Atlanta by registering at g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. See you there.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Yes, Wheel in the Sky by one of my favorite hair bands from the 1980s, Journey, and Wheel in the Sky, obviously, a reference to our discussion today, Lights in the Sky and Little Green Men, a rational Christian look at UFOs and extraterrestrials, a book by my guest Ken Samples and also his co-authors Hugh Ross and the now masculine version, Mark Clark. And again, I apologize to Mark about calling him Mary before. And I hope that he had never been called Mary before this or after. So, once again, my apologies. If anybody has questions, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. 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 And as always, please give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And we do have a question from Susan Margaret in Dauphin County, Pennsylvania. And she asks, do you know anything about the Barney and Betty Hill account? Do you think that these two people, this married couple, were charlatans, that they were mentally disturbed, or if they really, at the very least, believed that they were abducted by aliens, whether or not this was actually the case?
Yeah, Susan, thanks for raising that question. I have read the account of the Hills, and this is, again, part of what we call the phenomenon of abduction. You know, abduction is where people claim to have some kind of encounter with UFO beings or creatures. Sometimes they are taken upon the ship, they're captured, they undergo interrogation. Sometimes they even claim that they undergo some kind of physical examination. Some of them even claim that they have bruises or wounds on their body. There have even been people who have claimed that there were physical objects that were taken out of their bodies and things like this. You know, it's kind of hard to understand what is the best explanation of this. When I read the Hill report, there were a lot of things that ran through my mind. I wondered how much they had been given over to kind of UFO religion and various ideas. There are questions that are raised, and I don't mean this as an offense or an ad hominem attack, but there are times you wonder what kind of emotional state people were going through at the time. But there is also other times where people make claims that can't be fully substantiated, and you're not totally sure how to explain a lot of this. But I can tell you this, that whether you look at abducteeism or contacteeism or UFO religion, it almost always has some kind of occult connection. And whenever people are involved in the occult, there are weird and strange and potentially demonic things connected with it. But yeah, I read the Hill report. Not sure how to make of it. I don't know that I would say that they were charlatans, but I wonder if some of their ideas weren't mixed with UFO phenomena. And so, yeah, it's been a long time since I read it, but I remember the report.
I remember clearly watching the TV movie of this account. I was a young kid, somewhere in the neighborhood of 12 or so. Actually, perhaps a little bit older than that, maybe 15. But I remember, I think it may have been the first movie I ever saw James Earl Jones in. He and Estelle Parsons starred in that made-for-television movie. Trying to remember the name of it. Oh, yeah, I think it was called The UFO Incident. And I was captivated by it. As a kid, I became... That might have even been the catalyst that I became a UFO nut as a child. Still a nut, no longer a UFO nut. But now, obviously, you have been giving hints here and there throughout the beginning of this program that there is an alternative way of interpreting these things. You have, first, those things that have been explained or can be logically explained through natural means and phenomena. You have charlatans, fakers, and you also have people who are mentally ill, perhaps. But there's also the demonic realm. How much of the unexplained UFO phenomenon, those that you are aware of that have no explanation, nobody has provided an explanation, and at the same time, experts, at least the majority of them in certain cases, believe that these events that I'm speaking of in this category are not faked. They believe that there's some kind of real phenomenon there, but they have no explanation. I mean, do you have any, I mean, obviously this would be a guess on your part, but do you have any idea of what you think the percentage might be actually supernatural demonic activity?
Yeah, Chris, let me say just first of all that page 128 and 129 of our book, we have a basic summary of Barney and Betty Hill. So Susan can check that out. You've asked a really good question, and Chris, having a background in philosophy and logic, I'm very interested in a form of a reasoning called abductive. Now, this is not UFO abduction. This is abductive reasoning, which is contrasted with deductive and inductive. So deduction, if you do the process right, you end up with certainty. Inductive arguments, you do the process right, you end up with probably true conclusions. Abductive reasoning has to do with what's plausible, the best explanation, if you will. And I think that explaining the UFO phenomenon, the extraterrestrial issue, it really does kind of come down to three broad theories. Call them hypotheses if you want. I would say the first one is the misidentified hypothesis. I would agree that 90 to 95% of UFOs have some kind of natural explanation. You know, it could be things you see in the sky. We mentioned that in the book, the various things you could see that are natural that you might think are something other than natural. And we also talk about man-made phenomenon as well. So the misidentified hypothesis just simply says, look, the vast majority of UFOs become IFOs, so why not all of them are just misidentified phenomena? A second hypothesis or thesis, if you will, is what we call the extraterrestrial view, and that's the most popular idea. You know, that's the idea that there are beings in other parts of the universe in other galaxies, and these creatures are thought to be highly advanced in terms of science and technology, so much so that they have traveled to Earth and they're desiring to communicate. So again, this would be the extraterrestrial hypothesis. This would mean we're not alone in the universe. This would mean that these beings are highly sophisticated. Then there is the third hypothesis, and it's the position that we take in the book. Although, you know, again, we're very careful. I don't think you should skip over the misidentified hypothesis too quickly. I mean, a lot of UFOs can be explained in terms of people misidentifying reality. But here's the third one. It's the interdimensional hypothesis or viewpoint. And it says that while the vast majority of UFOs and UFO phenomena can be explained naturally, that there are a residual phenomenon, and that this residual phenomenon does not correspond well to misidentification, because after all, Tucker Carlson was talking about naval aviators who have a lot of experience with with man-made phenomena.
Yeah.
They're also very familiar with the sky and things of that nature.
There were some filmed sightings that those that are experts in aeronautical aviation or aeronautical engineering and aviation, that they have said on his program, we do not have the technology to create an aircraft that can travel at that speed, stop instantly in midair, reverse its direction, and other things that these sightings have done. So it is quite a bizarre and fascinating phenomenon.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And in our book, we talk about people who have observed phenomena very similar to what these aviators are saying of recent reports, what they observe violates the very laws of physics, and that if it were human beings in these crafts, because after all, America is kind of in a second Cold War. There's lots of competition between America and China. There is still competition between the United States and the Russians. And so, military technology is secretive. But people have said in these recent reports, as well as the reports that we recount in our book, that if there were a human passenger in that craft, they could not survive the aeronautical phenomena. So some of these reports don't seem consistent with a regular time-space world. They seem to be extra-dimensional. And then, of course, if you begin to look at any kind of the UFO religions connected to it, there appears to be a demonic connection to these kinds of things. And so all of these views, the misidentified phenomena view, the extraterrestrial perspective, the interdimensional view, all of them have strengths and weaknesses. I mean, in the extraterrestrial one, think of it, you'd have to have these creatures who live in some other galaxy. They would have to have this enormous investment of traversing to planet Earth. Co-author Hugh Ross would tell you that traveling through space is never easy. It is very dangerous. And the distances that they would have to traverse, it would take multiple generations. Now, of course, the explanations given, the exotic explanations, that they go through a wormhole or these kinds of things, but none of that, all of that is still science fiction. But there is, in this residual, this small percentage, it does seem like this is a phenomena that doesn't seem physical, it doesn't seem natural, it seems spiritual, it seems to be part of another dimension, and if it's spiritual, the connection could very real be demonic in nature. And I'll tell you, Chris, I do not recommend that people fool around with UFO religion or UFO phenomena. It is not good for your psychological state. It is not good for your spiritual condition. It is not, in some cases, it's not even safe for your life. You know, I'll tell you, and you know me, Chris, you know me pretty well, I'm not from a Pentecostal or charismatic background. I tend to be very analytical. My wife would tell you I'm too rational. But when I was researching for this book, I felt very oppressed. And I'm not someone who is quick to say that, but I had to read a lot of strange and weird things, and it wasn't something I would quickly go back to, because it's not just weird and strange. I think there is something oppressive about this phenomenon.
Is there a way that you can, if you feel comfortable doing so, summarize and explain in more detail what this oppression was like?
Well, I remember very distinctly writing, you know, working on the book, and I have to tell you, being an author is not an easy thing. There's a great investment in working on a book, and of course, there are pressure of deadlines and things of that nature. But I remember very clearly, I was writing about this, and my wife, who was, it was late at night. I was working on a chapter. My wife was asleep in bed, and she woke up out of bed and telling me about this strange dream that she had, and it was like nothing I had ever experienced. My wife is, she is very level-headed. She is, you know, a very dedicated Christian. But she began talking to me about these weird dreams that she was having, and I also felt, you know, spiritually, like that. I was under some kind of attack. And again, don't get me wrong. I am the last person to attribute a spiritual explanation. I'm probably more the kind of person who would be looking for, hey, maybe I just, you know, didn't get enough rest. But that was a weird experience that I had during that time, and I've never had anything like that before or after.
And the possible explanation for that, if indeed it was demonic oppression, would be that you were prying the cesspool lid off of something in the demonic realm that the demons and Satan himself don't want you to be able to explain, I'm assuming.
That is a possible interpretation, that I was encroaching on territory that tends to be connected to the occult and to the demonic realm. And, you know, again, I was trying to think through their doctrines and their ideas. I read some of their literature, and it was high strangeness. There's no doubt about it. And yeah, I distinctly remember thinking when that book was done, I was like, I am glad.
Wow. Well, we're going to our midway break right now. This is a longer than normal break because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, always requires of us in the middle of our show a longer break so that they can localize Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to Lake City, Florida, which is a requirement of the FCC that they localize their programming to the city and state in which they exist. So while they air their own public service announcements and other things, we air our globally heard commercials. So we ask of you to use this time wisely. Please write down the information provided by our advertisers so that you can more frequently and more successfully patronize our advertisers. Please try not to, at least not every day, fast forward through our commercials, because we really need our listeners to patronize our advertisers if we are to remain on the air. And the more, we will more likely remain on the air if our advertisers stick around. They see value in advertising with us. They see responses coming from our listeners. For instance, Solid Ground Christian Books has been getting very good responses from you and the audience, and I'm so thankful for that. They have tripled their spending as far as advertising is concerned on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and they have done so voluntarily. I haven't even asked them to do that. They've done that because they've gotten a ton of business from our listeners. So they are certainly going to stick around as long as they are able to, as long as they can continue to get business. But there's a lot of other advertisers that we would hope that you would patronize as well. So please remember to write down the information provided by our advertisers so that you can more successfully and frequently patronize them. Also, write down questions for Ken Samples about UFOs and extraterrestrials. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away, God willing. We're going to be back after these messages with more of Ken Samples and Lights in the Sky and Little Green Men.
Got to tell you, for my money, Chris Arnzen's radio program is just the best.
Iron. Criticizing Iron.
I think that's what it's called. This is Todd Friel of Wretched Radio and TV with Phil Johnson of Grace to You, inviting everybody to come to the G3 conference, which is almost instantly become one of the best conferences in the country.
And it is. It's a great conference. I love it. And Chris Arnzen was there last year. He's been there, I think, every year. It's great to see him there. You and I actually did some recordings in the lobby at that place, which
so
is a highlight
for me.
Tons
of stuff going on.
Yeah.
Tons of great speakers. And no matter where you are in the building, you will hear Chris Arnzen's laugh. And that's worth the price of admission alone. If you would like to join Phil, me, Chris, and a cavalcade of great preachers, so it should be a cavalcade of great preachers, and me, g3conference.com, g3conference.com.
And now there's even more exciting news. John MacArthur himself is now also on the lineup at the G3 Conference, Thursday, January 16th through Saturday, January 18th, 2020. Go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com. See you there!
Did you know that all believers are priests? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the Apostle Peter describes Christ's church as comprising a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So if you're a Christian, you're also a priest. Now you can find the newest styles in Reformed and Protestant apparel at citizenpriest.com. Citizenpriest.com specializes in Christian-themed t-shirts and clothing especially for Reformed Christians. Citizenpriest.com's merchandise is purposefully scripture-based and meant for the edification of the saints and the furtherance of the gospel. Let everyone know that you stand firm on the doctrines of the Reformed faith by wearing apparel from citizenpriest.com. Visit citizenpriest.com today.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Brandon Scalf of Cruciform Bible Church in Indianapolis, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chris Hatton of Grace Chapel in Sanford, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Jack Wilkie, minister of the Forney Church of Christ in Forney, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Mike Wachowski of Westminster Chapel in Ball Ground, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Cooley of Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston, Massachusetts, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brock Evans from Wading River Baptist Church in Wading River, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Lasser of Crestview Baptist Church in Big Spring, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB and tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com.
That's nasbible.com to place your order.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, host of A Visit to the Pastor's Study, and I am so thankful to be part of the advertising family right here on Iron Sharpens Iron. If you live on Long Island, or if you're visiting the metropolitan New York area, I invite you to join us for worship at The Haven on Sundays at 4:30 p.m. We meet at the Ascension Lutheran Church facility, 33 Bayshore Road in Deer Park, New York. At The Haven, you'll find God-saturated singing, gospel-rich ministry, and great commission opportunities. Learn more about us at thehavenli.com and join us this Sunday at 4:30 p.m. 33 Bayshore Road, Deer Park, New York.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnson@gmail.com. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit solidrockremodeling.com. That's solidrockremodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
Every
day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World Now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, you can call cvbbs.com Monday through Friday between 10 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time at 800-656-0231. 800-656-0231. And mention to them that you want to hear more about the two free offers that they have with purchases of varying amounts. The first is A True Love by James M. Renahan. And the second is A Pastor in New York, The Life and Times of Spencer Cohen by John Thornberry. The latter is my favorite Christian biography, my favorite biography, period, of all time. And I strongly urge you to get your hands on both of those books. And if you call them, you can ask them, how do I get those free books, True Love by James M. Renahan, and also A Pastor in New York, The Life and Times of Spencer Cohen, with my purchases. And I'll just let you know right now that one involves the first, True Love, involves any purchase. And the second, A Pastor in New York, The Life and Times of Spencer Cohen, which is a much larger hardback by Evangelical Press, written by John Thornberry. That requires a $50 minimum purchase. But you can ask them more about those books at 800-656-0231, 800-656-0231. And remember, you have to mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to take advantage of these special discounts and giveaway offers. Before I return to my guest, Ken Samples, I just have a couple of very important announcements to make. The first is this December 19th and 20th, Thursday and Friday, December 19th and 20th, I am going to be in Manhattan in my old stomping grounds to attend the Foundations Conference. And I am so looking forward to that. And I don't think there's a better place in the world to be during the Christmas season than New York City. And that's where the Foundations Conference is, a conference of sermonaudio.com. And I really hope that as many of you who are men in ministry leadership, that is who the conference is for. It's restricted to men in ministry leadership because of the small size of the venue. They can only seat less than 200 people there. So I hope as many of you who are men in ministry leadership join me there Thursday and Friday, December 19th and 20th. In New York City, the speakers include Dr. Stephen J. Lawson, Paul Washer, Reverend Jeff Thomas, Reverend Armin Tomassian, Richard Colwell Jr., and Andrew Quigley. For more details, go to thefoundationsconference.com, thefoundationsconference.com. And then in January, Thursday, January 16th through Saturday, January 18th, I am going to be, God willing, in Atlanta, Georgia, more specifically College Park, Georgia, a suburb of Atlanta, at the Georgia International Convention Center to once again attend and also man an exhibitor's booth at the G3 conference. I have always had such a phenomenal experience manning an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio exhibitor's booth at the G3 conference in the Georgia International Convention Center. The G3, by the way, stands for Gospel, Grace, and Glory. And this January's theme is on Worship Matters, a very important theme for sure, in this day and age when worship seems to divide those in the body of Christ more than anything else. The speakers at this conference include Stephen J. Lawson, once again Paul Washer. We have my friend Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. We have Phil Johnson, the executive director of John MacArthur's media ministry, Grace to You. We have my friend Costi Hinn, the nephew, believe it or not, of notorious charlatan and heretic Benny Hinn. And Costi Hinn has renounced the heresies of his uncle and is now a Reformed Baptist and cessationist pastoring in Arizona. You've been hearing Dr. James R. White advertise the G3 conference, and he has been saying that Costi pastors in California, but there has been a very recent development where his church in California sent him to bless a congregation in Arizona where he now is serving on the ministerial team. There are many more speakers, and the one that has is the most recent addition is John MacArthur himself is on the speaking lineup. So I would register if I were you as quickly as possible before they run out of room. And especially if you want to register for an exhibitor's booth like I will be manning for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, if you have a business, a parachurch ministry, an event, or something that you want to promote to the body of Christ, this is an ideal conference to do that. Because every year they have over 5,000 people there, and with John MacArthur added to the lineup, I think they're going to have over 6,000 people. So I hope that you join me there, and I hope that you have an exhibitor's booth near mine. That's Thursday, January 16th through Saturday, January 18th at the Georgia International Convention Center in College Park, Georgia. For more details on registering to attend and or register to have an exhibitor's booth, well, actually, if you register for an exhibitor's booth, you will be attending. So it will be either registering to attend or to register for an exhibitor's booth. Go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com, and please mention that you heard about the conference from Chris Arnson at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Last but not least, if you love this show, you don't want it to go away, you look forward to the topics and guests that I feature on this show every single day. Sometimes they are guests and topics that are never heard anywhere else. Well, if you don't want Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to go bye-bye, please help us remain on the air through your generous and frequent donations as much as possible. As I try to remind you every day, never take money away from your regular giving to your local church in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Never do that, and never put your family in financial jeopardy to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Those two things are commands of God. My show, providing for my show, is not a command of God, obviously. But if you are blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, you have extra money, not only for benevolent purposes, but for recreational purposes, for coffee, for ice cream, for sporting events, things that are not essential or crucial. You've got that extra money, and you have some of it that you wish to use for benevolent purposes. Please consider Iron Sharpens Iron Radio if you do love the show. Obviously, if you don't love the show, I don't know why you're listening to it. But if you do love it, please help us. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card by doing so. If you prefer snail mail, an address will appear on the screen where you can mail a check made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And if you want to advertise with us, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line, as long as whatever it is you're promoting is compatible with what I believe. You don't have to believe identically with me, but as long as you want to promote something that's compatible with what I believe, we would love to help you launch an ad campaign because we surely do need the advertising dollars. And if you are not a member of a local Bible-believing church, and you're not even prayerfully looking for one, you're living in rebellion against God. Please rectify that situation immediately. And please send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put something like, I need a church in the subject line. I have lists of biblically faithful churches all over the world, and I may be able to help you find a church near you or a church for your loved ones in any part of the world where they live and they don't have a church currently that they're attending or where they are a member, or churches where you the churches may be located where you are going on vacation. I've had a number of people ask me to recommend churches where they are vacationing. Well, whatever the case may be, please send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put I need a church in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to Ken Samples. We are discussing his book, co-authored with Hugh Ross and Mark Clark, Lights in the Sky and Little Green Men, A Rational Christian Look at UFOs and Extraterrestrials. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And as always, give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Ken, we have a question from John in Bangor, Maine, who wants to know, is it ever compatible with biblical orthodoxy to believe it is possible for life to exist on other planets and other galaxies and solar systems?
Yeah, John, I'm glad you asked that question. You know, what's interesting is Thomas Aquinas, the very influential Catholic philosopher in the 13th century, asked the question, could God have created life in outer space? So Christians, for a very long time, have given consideration to the idea of whether we are alone or whether God's creation could be more expansive than we think. My own thought about that is that I wonder about one very serious question, and that would be, I think that if God had created people, intelligent creatures in other worlds, they would be fallen. And then how would they be redeemed? Would Jesus have to go from planet to planet or from solar system to solar system to galaxy? There are questions relating to the exclusivity of the incarnation. I tend to doubt maybe that God had created people in other worlds, but I don't know that we can exclusively rule out the idea. But you could go at least all the way back to Thomas Aquinas, and Christians have been asking those questions.
You know, I was having a conversation with a friend of mine, a fellow Calvinist, the other day about this very issue. And for the entirety of my Christian life, I dismissed the idea of life on other planets, and I specify intelligent life. I don't know if there is any reason why a conservative, biblically sound Christian would automatically renounce or dismiss the concept of unintelligent life on other planets, because if you really put all your eggs in that basket, and science does eventually find plant life and animal life or microscopic life on other planets, then you've really put your own faith in question to those around you. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, I think you have to be very thoughtful, very deliberative when you set forth what would falsify the faith. That is, you know, what are the absolute essentials of our faith? And if they were disproven, what would that mean? And, you know, I clearly think the resurrection is there. Creation ex nihilo probably is right there at the core. But, you know, whether God's creation is more expansive than we think, I think we're speculating a little bit, and there would be very serious questions, again, about God's redemptive plan, but I think it's interesting that Christians have always been thoughtful people and have speculated about this long before modern science.
Well, one of the reasons I specified that my conversation recently about this subject involved a friend who is a fellow Calvinist is because, for the first time that I can remember, I began thinking to myself, now, if we who are Reformed believe that there are an elect people, which is only a percentage or a portion or a segment of all of humanity and all of creation, that have been chosen to be saved, that receive the full benefit of Christ's death through his shedding of his redemptive blood on Calvary, and we do believe that there are reprobates, does it then therefore necessarily rule out that there could be some kind of intelligent creatures, perhaps even some realm of the demonic phenomenon or what have you, but creatures that would not have to have a gospel scenario wherever they are, because they're reprobate. I mean, God never intended to save them. And I know that you're a fellow Calvinist. Does Does what I had just said just add to my reputation for lunacy, or is this some is there some kind of rational thinking there?
I think you're reasonable. Now, like I mentioned Thomas Aquinas, I think Aquinas's response was probably the incarnation would not come from planet to planet. Thomas then proposed maybe there would be another way that God would save them. Now, that's more difficult for me to adopt, but here's where I think that I would be open and sympathetic to your view, and that is, I think that creation may be much more expansive than we've ever known. And, one of the famous cosmologists, physicist Paul Davies said that if a UFO landed on the White House lawn, would that disprove Christianity? Well, that sparked my own thought. Could there be life? I would expect that, God is not just the creator of our small solar system, but of the cosmos itself. So, whether they would reflect maybe part of that intelligent life that God has not chosen, I don't think that that's an unreasonable question to ask.
Now, having said that, I think that there is a danger, in preoccupying your mind with these things, because the Bible has given us more than our minds can handle already to understand and to live by. The unfathomable riches in Christ that are found in the scriptures. If we spent a lifetime studying the scriptures for the majority of each 24-hour day, we could never plumb to the depths of this book. And since this book does not contain any mention of these, that at least nobody that I know of has exegeted passages that we can certainly get any kind of hint of extraterrestrial life other than the supernatural realm that includes the angelic and the demonic, that we shouldn't be really putting so much time and effort and thought into this. And I have told friends of mine who are not believers, especially the millennials who I mentioned in the beginning of the show, who seem to have that as among the very first questions, I have said to them, you are going to be standing before God as your judge one day, and you need to be right with him. And these rabbit trails that you allow to deflect or enable you to escape, at least in your mind, your need to repent and believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ is your only hope for salvation. You've got to stop doing that. This is just theory and speculation and imagination and all that kind of a thing. Do you think that I'm responding correctly?
I think you're offering some very prudent advice, Chris. I think that there are various areas in which people can get off base, engage in speculations, in conspiratorial thinking, and I think that we have a powerful, clear revelation from God in and through the person of Jesus Christ, fleshed out in the Old and New Testaments. I will tell you this, Chris, I think that for people who are not traditionally religious, not Christian, maybe no association with the Bible, I think human beings are made, because they're made in the image of God, they naturally are looking for answers to the big questions. Now, they may not want the answer that the New Testament gives, but they're looking, and they're looking for purpose and hope and meaning. And so I think that this unusual phenomenon is just part of that, that inner sense in which human beings know there's got to be more than just, the average day to day. But Chris, it's very clear. I mean, if you want to see the demonic in the New Testament is found in false doctrine. That's where it's at. And there is tons of false doctrine in the UFO phenomenon.
Yeah, it's amazing. It shows you how over and over again the Bible proves to be true. When you constantly have men who are viewed as brilliant, who basically prove in their wisdom they have become as fools, you have people who would rather believe that all the gifts and blessings of innovation and engineering and architecture, all of the things that we consider to be, as when we who are Christians consider to be gifts from God, using the minds of men that he has chosen to bring invention and truth to the masses, whether they are Christian or not, that all these things are gifts to the human race from outer space, and therefore we owe some kind of an allegiance to these creatures, these alleged creatures, and we should be expecting the return of these alleged creatures to Earth, or to finally manifest themselves clearly, rather than thanking God for these things and rather than looking to him and his return.
Yeah, I mean, that is really the explanation that people who are fallen, who are separated from God, they still have a religious impulse. They bear the image of God, and yet they will worship almost anything rather than the triune God of historic Christianity. And so idolatry becomes a real issue. And it's interesting. Turn on the History Channel or some of the other cable programs. People will talk about, you know, ancient aliens who've come here and buried all of this technology, and that we owe them some kind of allegiance. And so, yeah, human beings, I think it was Pascal used the expression of human beings are religious creatures by nature. And either they'll worship the true and living God or they'll worship something else.
We have CJ in Lindenhurst, Long Island, New York, who says, "Forgive me if you've already addressed this, so I'm tuning in late, but do you cover Area 54 in your book, and what are your thoughts on this and the conspiracy theories of government cover-ups?"
Yes, CJ, I'm glad you're listening, and I'm glad you asked the question. We do have discussion of Area 51. We have, as one of the authors, Mark Clark, who is a national security scholar, and so he has a particular chapter looking at Area 51, also looking at various other places in which people have claimed to have had, the government was hiding these kinds of things. I think Chris touched upon this a little bit earlier. It's natural and normal to think that the government has to protect various secrets, especially when it comes to military, maybe even advanced military technology. I'm not surprised that I wanted to mention before it jumps out of my head that we also deal with the Roswell, where, again, people believe that the government was covering up UFOs. But I think that very clearly the government has natural security issues. And if you think back to the UFO phenomenon in the 50s, this is right after World War II, right at the height of the Cold War. So part of the explanation is that, you know, the government is hiding things, but it's not UFOs. They're trying to keep secrets that they think are really important to the survivability and the integrity of the United States. Now again, I think when you look at these kind of broad conspiracy theories, people sometimes have reason to distrust the government. And the government doesn't always, they're not always forthright. They sometimes engage communicating things that are false. But we have not found anything in Area 51 or Roswell or any of the other bases in the nation that would lead us to conclude that they're covering up the UFO phenomenon.
So there's a correction. It wasn't Area 54, Area 51.
Area 51, yes.
Okay. Might have been a typo on our listener's part. By the way, I want to inform everybody, I don't know if I've been mentioning that everybody so far, at least, who's written in a question has won a free copy of Lights in the Sky and Little Green Men, A Rational Christian Look at UFOs and Extraterrestrials by our guest Kenneth Samples, and also co-authored by Hugh Ross and Mark Clark. And so make sure you send me, whoever you are who have sent in questions, your full mailing address so that cvbbs.com can ship out those free copies of this book to you. And we want to thank Reasons to Believe for providing us with these copies. We have Ronald in Eastern Suffolk County, Long Island, New York, who asks, what research have you done and what is your opinions about the alleged bodies of aliens that have been discovered at wrecks of spaceships?
Yeah, part of this, again, goes back to places like Roswell, New Mexico, and reports that there was a UFO spacecraft that crashed there, and the story is that there were bodies of these aliens, and, you know, the government kind of covered all of this up, and, you know, I've even seen alleged photographs which were never authenticated, but yes, we do write about, again, this idea that there are people who make claims to have had real encounters. And again, we have not seen any convincing evidence at all that there are literal metallic crafts visiting our planet from, you know, other galaxies or from deep space. In fact, if you look at the phenomenon, oftentimes the best attested, that is, the UFO reports or claims that have the most evidence in their support, the ships or the crafts or whatever it may be, they don't appear to be physical. They don't appear to be material. They appear to, again, violate the laws of physics. And so I think the reports of interplanetary space visitors from out in space, I think that's a very weak hypothesis for other reasons, like the tremendous distances that they would have to travel, the difficulty getting here, how much of an economic investment that they would have to make. And some people think that there isn't intelligent life in Washington, D.C., so maybe why would they come here? That's a joke. Maybe there's smarter government somewhere else.
Took me a few seconds to grasp that one. Now, so when we see, like on Tucker Carlson's special interviews and other places, documentaries, when we see with our own eyes films of crafts, or at least things that look, I mean, it typically just looks like a speck on a screen to us. But when we hear aeronautical engineers and when we hear aviation specialists, and by the way, my father was an aeronautical engineer for Grumman Aerospace. He helped design the lunar module. He helped design things that were breakthroughs in aviation, like the thrust reverse, which all jets now have, which enable the jet to slow down while it's landing. But my father, he took very seriously the reports of astronauts that saw things and filmed things from space that could not be explained. But so my question is, when we see these things, are you saying that there is a likelihood when we hear that these experts on aviation and aerospace are saying this is not some kind of a speck on the lens of a camera, this is not some kind of a trick, it's not these astronauts have no reason to be manufacturing these kinds of things. That they believe these are real crafts of some kind. Are you saying that as a Christian, the most plausible answer to this would be that this is a demonic creature or a false miracle, something supernatural that Satan himself is causing to appear in space, or even in our atmosphere? I believe some of these things that have been filmed appear to be in our own atmosphere here. That these are somehow false miracles of the demonic realm?
Well, I think when you look at, when you ask the question, what is the best explanation for this phenomenon? How do we account for it? Obviously, there are credible UFO reports, and when military experts, astronauts, scientists say that they have seen things, I tend to give credibility to that. I think, however, that you wanna think about a number of points. You want to say, could there be a natural explanation for this? Could it be, for example, the craft of, you know, the Chinese or the Russians? If that is not viable, and if these ships or these crafts are violating the laws of physics that would not allow for a physical being to survive through it, then I think we do need to ask the question, could this be some kind of other dimensional phenomenon? Now, Chris, I would say this, you know, people who tend to see UFOs sometimes have what we would call open doors to the occult. And what that means is, and you know this very well, we live in a society that is very religious, but that religion includes New Age ideas, it includes, you know, things like people who believe in seances and spiritism and various issues. I mean, one question that I would ask even Navy aviation pilots would be, do you have any open doors to the occult? That is, what is your kind of experience about that? So I think we should look very carefully at whether a UFO could become an IFO. It's possible that some of them could. I tend to gravitate away from the extraterrestrial because I think that it has too many difficulties to deal with. But yeah, I do think that there may be a religious connection to this, and while I can't state categorically that, you know, these best UFO reports were clearly interdimensional, I can say that they seem to fit well with demonology, with a Christian perspective on an angelic realm, and so we try to develop this thesis very carefully, very deliberately, and I'm cautious about giving any fast and loose questions, but, you know, there are a lot of people who have weird experiences, and sometimes the people who have weird experiences have dabbled in the occult.
Well, we have to go to our final break right now, and if you have a question for Ken Samples, please send it in immediately because we're rapidly running out of time. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away, God willing. We're going to be right back after these final messages with more of Ken Samples and Lights in the Sky and Little Green Men.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture, dissemination of scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and the Dividing Line webcast here. Although God has brought me all over the globe for many years to teach, preach, and debate at numerous venues, some of my very fondest memories are from those precious times of fellowship with Pastor Rich Jensen and the brethren at Hope Reformed Baptist Church, now located at their new beautiful facilities in Coram, Long Island, New York. I've had the privilege of opening God's Word from their pulpit on many occasions, have led youth retreats for them, and have always been thrilled to see their members filling many seats at my New York debates. I do not hesitate to highly recommend Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, to anyone who wants to be accurately taught, discipled, and edified by the Holy Scriptures, and to be surrounded by truly loving and caring brothers and sisters in Christ. I also want to congratulate Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram for the recent appointment of Pastor Rich Jensen's co-elder, Pastor Christopher McDowell. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net, or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, that you heard about them from James White on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so, and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
One sure way all Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listeners can help keep my show on the air is to support my advertisers. I know you all use batteries every day, so I'm urging you all from now on to exclusively use BatteryDepot.com for all your battery needs. At BatteryDepot.com, they're changing the status quo. They're flipping the script. They're sticking it to the man. In other words, they'd like to change the battery industry for good by providing an extensive inventory of top-of-the-line batteries that are uniformly new, dependable, and affordable. Ordering from BatteryDepot.com ensures you'll always get fresh out-of-the-box batteries you can count on to work properly at competitive prices. Whether you need batteries for cordless phones, cell phones, radios, PCs, laptops, tablets, baby monitors, hearing aids, smoke detectors, credit card readers, digital cameras, electronic cigarettes, GPSs, MP3 players, watches, or nearly anything else you own that needs batteries, go to BatteryDepot.com. Next day shipping available. All products protected by 30-day guarantees and 6-month warranties. Call 866-403-3768. That's 866-403-3768. Or go to BatteryDepot.com. That's BatteryDepot.com.
I'm Dr. Gary Kimbrell, pastor of Bethlehem Baptist Church in Laurel, Mississippi. God tells us in James 1:27 that pure and undefiled religion is to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. In the providence of God, 3 years ago, I discovered a poor small church outside Lusaka, Zambia, in a township called Kabanana, who are taking care of 24 orphans. I found them just at the time when they had lost all their funding. What was I to do? Could I just say, God bless you, and walk away? The situation of the children sat heavily upon me. As I was praying concerning this need, it came to me, I trust from the Lord, to tell the orphans' plight to a broader audience. The entire need for their clothing, food, education, and some medical services is $73 per month per child. If just 50 of us would give $35 a month, we could meet the need. Bethlehem Baptist Church will pay the fee to get the funds there. So if you give a dollar will get to the orphans. In this season of hope and giving, will you consider giving hope to 24 orphans? Please send your gift of any amount to Bethlehem Baptist Church, 838 Reed Road, Laurel, Mississippi, 39443. Or donate through our website, bbclaurel.com. Again, the address is Bethlehem Baptist Church, 838 Reed Road, Laurel, Mississippi, 3943 or bbclaurel.com. Thank you.
Listening to Christian radio can be a big gamble spiritually. Even many of the major Christian networks that include excellent biblically faithful teachers on their lineup sadly often also include the worst of doctrinally dangerous heretics. If you are a lover of the doctrines of sovereign grace, you need not fear listening 24 hours a day to firstloveradio.org. They feature Christ-centered programming from Reformed pastors and teachers you can rely upon for theological soundness and biblical faithfulness, such as Dr. W.R. Downing, Dr. Peter Masters, Pastor Joe Jackowitz, Pastor Robert Gifford, Al Martin, Edward Del Cor, and more. FirstLoveRadio.org also live streams my Iron Sharpens Iron radio program daily. Please stick around on FirstLoveRadio.org after Iron Sharpens Iron radio is over to continue being blessed by the unwavering proclamation of the gospel of sovereign grace. Spread the word about FirstLoveRadio.org. Yes, we know that the UFOs are there. This is Chris Arnzen for our final segment with Ken Samples, discussing Lights in the Sky and Little Green Men, a rational Christian look at UFOs and extraterrestrials. And we have a final question that we have time for. We have BB in Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, who wants to know, can you describe in detail at least some of these unexplained UFO phenomenon that have no answer to them so far? And this would, in your book, you actually call them R-UFOs, I believe?
Yes, we do. We would call them R-UFOs or residual UFOs. Again, 90-95% can be explained, so there is a residual. They tend to, again, report phenomenon that doesn't correspond well with the physical world. I mean, a jet aircraft has to obey the laws of physics. It can't, just go off on its own without following the laws of physics. What we do in our book is we do talk about some of the experiences that people have reported where the phenomenon strikes us as something from another dimension rather than, again, explained, unexplained natural or human phenomena. And I should also mention that there are other people who study UFOs, like Jacques Vallée, the French astrophysicist. He is not a Christian, but he also says that some of the best attested UFO reports seem spiritual or interdimensional in nature. So it's not just Christians who have said this. The phenomenon is unusual and comports better, I think, with a spiritual explanation.
Do you have any details very quickly that you could provide for a couple of these unexplained UFOs?
Well, again, it would some of them are things that have been seen in the sky, sometimes by scientists, sometimes by military individuals. So they would be engaging in a phenomenon that would violate the laws of physics. And this would not be leftover pieces of a craft, because these are not metallic, they're not physical. So often it would be observations, although sometimes there have been reports where you've actually seen effects, physical effects, like into the ground and things of that nature.
Well, I want to thank you so much, Ken, for being our guest again. I look forward to your return. If anybody wants to find out more about Ken Samples and anybody who wants to purchase this book, Lights in the Sky and Little Green Men, go to reasons.org, reasons.org. I also want to remind you who are listening, please pray
for Joe Jackowitz, the founder of First Love Radio, the internet radio network that live streams Iron Sharpens Iron Radio every day. In fact, you can hear Joe Jackowitz preaching right after this show is over. Please pray for him as he has been recently diagnosed with an aggressive and deadly form of leukemia. And I just interviewed Joe recently on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. You can hear the recording of that archived at ironsharpensironradio.com and just type in Jackowitz into the search engine, J-A-C-O-W-I-T-Z, J-A-C-O-W-I-T-Z, and that will be the most recent interview with Joe Jackowitz. Thank you so much, Ken. Thank you, everybody who listened, and I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.